Well, let's go ahead and go into the Lord for prayer at this moment. We want to just lift up His holy name and just really enjoy what the Lord's been doing for us. I mean, just these are precious times, and we should really think about how precious time is, because we get caught up and we get dragged away by stuff in our life. You know, we want to be focused on the Lord and just bless Him. How wonderful it is to be caught up in the great love of God. How wonderful it is to just be greatly and immensely loved by Him. Heavenly Father, bless us this morning. Allow us to just come into Your presence and to just be a blessing unto You, to be filled by Your great love. In the name of Jesus, we bless You, Lord. Amen. This lesson here is wonderful because it's sometimes refreshing for the soul, guys. We need refreshing. And sometimes there's an old saying that you could not see the forest because the trees were in the way. Well, I will tell you, the forest is before us. Let's open our eyes and be aware of what the Lord has for us. Starting there in verse 19, He tells us, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves." And that word "lay up" means lay up ahead, means store ahead for yourself treasures in heaven. In the pioneer days, when people were going to go west, those who could afford it would actually send people forward to actually build a cabin for them, a structure on land that they had already secured. They would also send provisions ahead so that when they made that great journey and they finally got there, they would have what they needed as provisions. But here He says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So often these poor people would send all their money, all their wealth and everything forward so that a homestead could be established for them, that they would have the provisions waiting on them. And when they would get there, well, sometimes it wasn't as pretty as they thought. Sometimes it didn't even occur at all, and their money was gone. The thieves had taken everything. The Indians had burned down the structure. It was all gone. So in some cases, I imagine there was people that just ripped off other people. But the idea here is, where is your treasure? Let's define what treasure is. What is a treasure of yourself? If you had to give God anything, what is it that you can really give Him that He doesn't already have? There's only one thing that you have, and God has relinquished it to you. He created it, but He's relinquished it to you, and that is your life, yourself. And it's beautiful that He calls you, your life, a treasure. It is a precious thing. The Bible talks about a person could have all the wealth in the world, but to lose their soul would be an immeasurable loss. God has given you a precious gift, and it's yourself. And He's saying, I'm going to let you decide what you're going to do with your life. What are you going to do with it? Especially the younger people, but even us who are multiple generations ahead of these younger people, we still have a lot of life left. I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to be here for a while longer, praise God. And I hope I am. I want to go to heaven, but I also want to do more. To do more for Him. Who likes the idea of hunting for a treasure? I think treasure hunting is awesome. I love the idea of finding something that was lost by accident or hidden on purpose. My favorite movies, the Nicolas Cage movie, National Treasure. Y'all seen it? It is about a person or a group of people who amassed a treasure, but then became extremely concerned about people taking the treasure, so they hid it. And every time they hid it, it seemed to grow. Every time it was found and rehidden, it grew bigger. Every time it was hidden, it kept growing and growing, and eventually got hidden, and it came down to one last patriot who knew where the treasure was, and he could not pass it on to the right person, the President of the United States. It's supposed to be, according to the movie, Andrew Jackson was not available, so he told his coachman, his servant, where the treasure was and the secret of the treasure. And it was lost. And in the movie, Nicolas Cage, his family's been searching for it, and they finally find it. But I will tell you, all those things in that treasure room, in that movie, will pass away. The gold will pass away. The jewels will pass away. The historical documents they found will pass away. You are to store up your treasure in a place in which moth and rust and thieves will not take it. What is your treasure? It is all about your life. What you do in your life, what you bring to God, what you lay down before Him. I pray that the young people are in school. I hope they earn their associate's degree before they even get out of high school. But I pray also that they take a break somehow, some way, and seek God. Ask God at least for a few months after school and pray about what they want to do with their life. I wish someone had come to me when I was younger and told me the same wise words. There's a poet had once wrote a poem. He said, "Great is the oak his limbs spread. His message is his life to those who are now dead." What is your message of your life? Live now, for life will not always last. Live it to the fullest. Live it to the extreme. But I will tell you, live it as a treasure before God. Live it as a treasure before God. Looking back on the deeds of your life, we read the verses above last week about not doing your deeds in the open so that people can see them and you get your pat on the back, the reward from humans, but you do them in secret. You do good things so that God will get the glory, not you. And when you do them for the glory of God, then those are treasures that you have sent forward ahead of you. Your future self will be glad you did it for yourself. You will be glad when you get there to that destination, you can look back and go, "I'm so glad I was not prideful. I'm glad I didn't do those things just for me. But I did them for the glory of God." Those are good things. Don't worry about stuff like that. Don't worry about, "Well, if I don't do good things for me and be focused on me, I'm never going to achieve." I promise you, God has good plans for you. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to prosper you. He does. And you will prosper if you put God first. Hear what He says to you. You say, "Well, I'm flawed. I have weaknesses. I don't do everything just perfect." He has worked with imperfect people from the beginning. And He will keep doing that. He's got good plans for you. You have that calling. You know it. You hear it. You sense it. You kind of desire the idea of doing something, but you're afraid to step out. You're afraid to send the treasure forward. Those people, those early pioneers, were nervous about loading a wagon with unbelievable amount of wealth and waving to it as it went west and prayed to God that it got there and that the provisions were waiting on them. The treasures that you do in secret will not see corruption. And I promise you, if you send them forward where God has received them and not the eyes of men and women, I promise you, they will be more secure than Fort Knox. You know where it is? It's in the heart of God. And where your treasure is where your heart is. Where's your heart? If your treasure is in the heart of God, then where's your heart? It says here, where your treasure is, there shall be where your heart is. If you send your acts of kindness and goodness and deeds, and you do them only for God, but it blesses other people, and you don't stand around expecting an applaud from humans, then those treasures are sent forward. How precious are they? God calls them treasures. They're your crowns. And when you get to heaven, it says that we will lay our crowns down at His feet, but it will be such a heartache, a disappointment if you get to heaven and you have no provisions that you've sent forward to lay at the feet of Christ. But I will tell you, He says that we shall rule. So that gives me a sense, even though we lay our crowns down, we still have the benefit of the crowns because we get to rule and live with Him. That's wonderful. What does your future look like? I'm talking your distant future. I'm talking your eternity future. You will have two eternities. Two eternities. One eternity is in the bosom of God, in His righteousness and His love. And if you're not saved, you would be in the eternity of hell. Away from God. He does not want to send anybody to hell. He does not desire it. It wasn't even made for humans. It was originally made for angels who were fallen angels. But He gives us that gift, that free life, that free decision, the ability to choose. And He will let you choose. He will not take that from you. He will let you be what you want to be. You could be found in Him or absent in Him. What will it be? Moving forward in our scripture. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples who were with Him got a small glimpse of Christ in His pure state. He transfigured just for a little while, and light emanated out of His body, and even His clothing turned white, bright white. The light in Him was pure. There was no darkness or shadow in Him. And I think we, as the Bible says, we're children of light. We'll be like that. We'll be like that. But here it talks about the the eye. And what he's saying here, are your eyes focused on material things? On self-gratitude? On self-righteousness? On being rewarded by humans? Or are you sending the gifts to God in the things that you do? Material things? Or are your eyes focused on spiritual things? Are they on the higher things, which are spiritual? Or are they carnal? If your life reflects living in a manner that takes you away from God, and there are people that allow things to come into their life, and it's funny how they creep in. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. I once served on a board to a group of people that were helping unwed mothers. And it was just getting started, and they had an organization offer them a lot of money. And they were, but they said, we've got a problem, but we don't know if it's a problem. We want to take it to the board and know yes or no. You know what the problem was? The problem was this organization accepted the idea that people can be homosexual and lesbian and still be in a righteous state with God completely, and that they would even ordain pastors that were homosexuals. And all they said was, go along with us and we'll write you a check. The room, you could have heard a pin drop because it was a lot of money. I stood up and I go, well, it's clear God's got better plans for us. Let's not even accept their money. Tell them to go on their own way, that we'd rather God will give us better blessings because we're going to choose righteousness today. Right, guys? Did you know I was the only voice of reason in that room? They were like, but Michael, it's a lot of money. And who cares where it comes from? It don't really matter. We can just kind of go along. I'm like going, no, God's got the good stuff waiting for you. Don't cave in. They said, but we might never see this kind of money again. And I'm like, I don't care. Did you know they called me a Pharisee? An unloving person? Because I would not go along with it. They said, well, homosexuals are people too. I said, I agree. They're sinning people. That's fine. They're sinners. But does not mean that we condone it. Did you know they would not give in and I gave them my resignation? Couldn't do it. That guy I was good friends with. That guy who led that organization. I was good friends with him. But my heart is broken now. Still for him. Did you know he still has not repented and he would take money from anybody? Take money from anybody. The light in his eyes was darkness. Look here. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness. You see, light can be controlled. People will say, it's light. But when you examine it really close, it's not light. It fools you. It's darkness. We can't do that. We won't do that. We will not compromise. People say, well, you might go out of business. That's okay. It's not my business anyway. It's God's business. Last time I checked, he's never gone bankrupt. And no one's ever came knocking on his door to collect what he owes him. God is good, amen? They say the eye is a mirror to the soul. They say the eye is a mirror to the soul. What's in your eye? What catches your eye? What is your eye on? Makes you think. What's going on in your life? What are you watching? What's really capturing your attention? What does your treasure look like? That's your life. What's tied to your reputation? Are you a compromiser? Have you gone along with the world for a while because they tell you it's cool? Look what it says also to us. Looking at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon is a word for money. It also goes deeper than money. It can be acceptance. It can be wealth. It can be opportunities. It could be, we can't turn this money down. This is a great opportunity for our organization. All we got to do is just smile and look the other way. We don't even have to talk to them about the gay issue. We just need to take the money and we'll be on their list as compromisers. Could you look yourself in the face? I couldn't. And they gave me a lot of pressure that night. I mean, voices got loud. Voices got loud. I was really torn up over that. It wasn't the choice. I already knew what the choice was. I knew where righteousness was. I saw it. But I also saw those men writing themselves checks, salaries as being board members when a million something plus dollars comes in the door. Where you can quit your job and just do your ministry and shut up and just rake in the money and look good. That's what they wanted. They wanted money. We could not do that. Not look at God the same way. If they weren't a Christian organization, maybe they can choose that. But you know what? They based themselves as a Christ-based organization. Are you Christ-based in your decisions? Are you following fast after Him? The world will ask you to compromise. When you're in college, the professors are going to want you to say that God is dead. Don't compromise. In college, the football players are going to come up to you and expect you to do things, girls. Don't compromise. They'll say it comes with the territory. It does not, because you're a treasure. You're a treasure. You're precious. And the light is in you. And that light is the light of men. That is the light of Jesus Christ. You can't serve both, though. So when you're making your career out, is it wrong for you to say, if I choose this career, I'm going to make a lot of money? No, it's not. It's not. There are many wealthy men in the Bible. God blesses people. If it's a God, you want more of your God, and you want to keep it, love it, keep it, grow it, and just be all about that money. But if you're not really in love with the money, the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. But if you're really not in love with the money, but you're going to use it as a blessing, you're going to fund missions, you're going to help plant churches, you're going to take care of the needy, you're going to do all kinds of great blessings with it, yeah, man, you're planning a career, I bless you, man. Go for it. Be rich, but be righteously rich first. Because at the end of the day, you can be rich and still not be happy. Being happy is so very, very extremely important. Look what he says here. In verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on it. Meaning, don't worry about if you're going to have enough money for the clothing or whatever. Is not life more than food and the body more than just clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable? Remember, I started this verse out, this teaching, talking about you are a treasure to God. It says, are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Verse 28 says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, it's down to faith. It is a faith issue. You have your life. You have pathway to the left over here, and you have pathway to the right over here, and you can choose. You can see it. There is a choice, and you can choose. Do I want to walk a life of righteousness? Do I want to walk a life that is passionate for Christ? Do I want to walk a life that is totally focused on Him? And you say, but I really want to be in the in crowd. Trust me, there is an in crowd. And it's at the end time. You will be in Christ Jesus. And you will be so very glad that you were. Because those who are outside of Jesus will be sadly mistaken. They will mourn. They will be saddened to find themselves that they wasted a precious moment. Stop for a minute. Stop and just think. At one moment, your mind did not exist. Your thoughts did not exist. You were just an idea, a thought in the mind of God. And He breathed life into tissue and created your soul in there and said, here you are, now you exist, and you're here in this wonderful scenario called life. And there's a test going on. And so often we live so much in our life and we don't even know the test is taking place. Have you ever been in school and the teacher suddenly gets quiet and you're wondering, what's going on? And you realize everybody's head is down, they're all work, and you realize the test has started and you're behind. Your mind was somewhere else. But the test is started. You only get one shot at the test. And the test is asking you, what are you going to do with your life that is a treasure? There's a guy named Bobby McFerrin. He was a musical artist. He wrote a song. I like the song. I can't be driving down the road and not hear this song and have a smile come across my face. You say, I've never heard of this Bobby McFerrin. But I have. Look what he says in his song. These are the words of his song. And after a while, you'll recognize the song. And all your heads will nod and your smiles will crease your face. It says here, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. See, you recognize those words. It says, don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Then he continues a few more of those verses. And he says, ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. Right. The landlord says your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Come on. He goes on, don't worry, be happy. He says this several times. He says, look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. Here I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash. Ain't got no style. Ain't got no gal to make you smile. Don't worry. Be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown. And that will bring everybody down. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everyone down. Don't worry. It will soon pass. Whatever it is. Don't worry. Be happy. I'm not worried. I'm happy. When we look at those words, I can see Jesus saying those words. He's saying, don't worry here. He says here in his wonderful scripture, he says, are you worried about clothing? Are you worried about food? Are you worried about all this stuff? You went on the right path. The right path may not be a Gucci purse. It may not be a mink stole or a Ferrari. But he'll make you happy. Remember when we started in Matthew and we did the Lord's Prayer. Blessed are they who are what? It goes through all the different blessings. That word blessing means hilariously happy are those who mourn. Remember? They're happy. Christians are to be happy. A fun, loving band of misfits. We're not down. We have all there is good to live for. God is blessing. He's blessing. I promise you He's blessing. Even when I see tragedy might be coming, I'm just going to count on Him blessing. What else should I do? I cannot add one hair to my head worrying. I can't make myself any taller worrying about my stature, both in a physical sense or as well as a public sense. But I can be happy. When Suzanne got cancer, we were devastated. I'm not telling you to whistle in the dark and pretend the dark isn't there. But I'm telling you, whistle in spite of it. You're going to have hard days. Get over it. Because you're in the test. And this test is a world that has been cursed because of sin. It has its impact on us. Tony and I were experiencing the curse of the universe yesterday. We were trying to wire this plug in. We wired it every conceivable way twice. We even could put the little electrical indicator on it. It said there was current. You plug it in, something into the socket, and it would not work. I would look at him, he would look at me, and I'd say, I'm going to go back and turn it off again, and we'll try again. And we rewired it several times, and eventually the wise words of Tony says, I think we've done this a couple times now. Because the world's busted. It's broken. And you're operating in it. You can have your treasure now. Yeah. You can go live life like you think it's not going to last. But there's an eternity waiting on you. And God desires you to choose Him. Verse 31. says, therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. He is not promising you He will give you what you want. He will give you what you need. You will not sleep in the rain. You will not sleep without a house. And you will not go hungry. This church will take care of the needs. You will be clothed. It might be some real ugly hand-me-downs, but you will be clothed. It may not be steak, but it might be top ramen, but you will eat. I promise you, God has His hand on us, and He will take care of us, and He will meet our needs. If tomorrow the stock market totally collapses, we will be okay. We will be okay. Don't worry. What should we be doing instead of worrying? Be happy. Because we're blessed. 34 says, therefore, excuse me, 33 says, but seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. In other words, put God first. Put Him in your life. Focus on Him. And don't get all distracted by the drama and the trauma of life. But be focused on Jesus. Verse 34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Meaning, hey guys, cool it on the worrying. God's got it. Suzanne and I had to not worry. We had to take a breath, catch ourselves, and go, all right, God, we're hanging on. Help us, please. And there was moments when we were told one thing, and next thing you know, the words changed, and the doctor said it's going to be more. It's going to be harder. It's going to be tougher. It's going to be more devastating. And we went through it, but not alone, because God was always there. And I found that when we tried to stay focused on God, blessing Him during the trauma of it, the trauma itself seemed less. Not that it was any less, but it felt less, and we were able to deal with it. Verse 34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Who creates tomorrow? He does. Who was the God yesterday? He is. Who's the God today? God is. Who's the God tomorrow? God is. He's all those things. He's right there. He's actually in tomorrow already. We're just catching up. He says He will give you everything you need to meet your needs. But look what else as He ends. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Meaning, why are you worrying about tomorrow? For today has enough to concern you. Amen, brothers? Man, good news. Don't worry. Be happy. Yes, it is. It's stuck in my head already. I can hear the melody of that reggae, soft reggae sound of Mr. McFerrin. Well, let's just praise the Lord and thank Him for blessing us and thank Him for His wonderful righteousness. Heavenly Father, it is good to be caught up in Your great love. We love being in love with You, Lord. It's a good thing. So when we catch worrying about things, Lord, just give us faith. For your mercy is new every morning, and it gives us a breath of freshness every day. Breathe on us your freshness, Lord, and give us faith. Give us faith for the hardness of this day. Prepare us for tomorrow, and let us strive on as good warriors in your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Amen. Amen. May God shine his wonderful light on you. May he just encapsulate you in his great love and bless you. And may you have a blessed and wonderful Valentine's. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. God loves you and we do. God bless.